I'm Sean.
And I'm Alex.
And that's Grayson.
And this is Autism Building the Puzzle.
One piece at a time. Hello and welcome to Autism Building the Puzzle, one piece at a time. My name is Alex and I'm your host. Today, this episode is just with myself, and we're going to be talking about early intervention. We did a previous episode on this before in the past, me and Sean, so we figured we would just go over it again, me solo, just because, you know, we have a lot of new listeners, and that way you guys can get something different, hopefully, out of it. So how our journey began was all through a speech delay. The pediatrician had recommended that we had a speech evaluation done. She did not say anything about autism, did not think he had autism, still doesn't to this day. So I had called the phone number she had given me. You can get this through your pediatrician, and it was part of the state of New Jersey. And I had called, and they had said, okay, we'll set up the evaluation. They had come out, and it was two evaluators that came out that day. And they went over numerous things with Grayson, did different play activities, different fine motor, gross motor skills, things like that. And at the end of the evaluation, one of them had said to the other one, possible autism. And I talk about this frequently. I will never, ever forget that moment. It literally brings me to tears every time I talk about it. And I don't get that way with many moments anymore, but there's just those beginning initial moments that I talk about all the time. I think your body kind of remembers hard things we go through, traumatic things. And every time I do talk about those things, I do react in that way, just... it just happens out of my control. So they had said possible autism. And I remember sitting there and thinking like, wow, oh my God, he has autism. Like it wasn't even the possible part I didn't even hear. Because I always thought Grayson was neurotypical, but there were some things that I don't know that the pediatrician just kept reassuring me that everything was okay. And it wasn't major to where I was like, oh, we have to go to a developmental pediatrician. I was like, okay, she's the professional. She knows, you know, this was just, it was more of like a gut feeling than anything else. Something was just telling me that something wasn't right. But I didn't push it. So when they had said that, it was, I just knew. I went automatically to Sean and I was like, Grayson has autism. And he's like, we don't know that. I'm like, no, he has autism. Like he 100% has autism. And I remember that night just taking a hot bath, trying to process this all and thinking to myself, like, I cannot believe this is like, I'm going to be completely honest and transparent. My initial thought was, I cannot believe this is happening right now. I cannot believe this is happening to us. Me and Sean have not had the best of luck through, you know, our time together. And, you know, after I had lost my dad years and years ago, I had a lot of bad luck after that. So it was kind of just like, oh my gosh, like how much more can I take? Now at this point, honestly, I'm so grateful because I don't know how somebody else... you really have to be a certain type of person to handle this. God is giving you this job, and if you don't believe in God, whatever, that's fine too. But this is given to you because you can do it. And that was the biggest thing I took from it was, why isn't this happening to, like, you know, just other people, not me? And I thought, because you're the one that can handle it. You're the one that was chosen for this because you can provide for him and give him what he needs to get through these challenges and cope with this the best way that we can. And that was hard getting to that point. Honestly, I went through somewhat of a depression for, it wasn't long, honestly. I went through a depression for about a week. and it was difficult. And, you know, you just sit there and you think about, like, oh, my God, he may never get married. Oh, my God, this may happen. Like, and you just go through their whole entire life. Then you think about what happens if something happens to me. What happens if something happens to me and my husband? What is going to happen to him or her? And that is really, really difficult. And I still struggle with that part today. Sorry, guys. I'm emotional right now. This is difficult. Going back to that time and just thinking about how far we've come. But yeah, I knew he had autism and I believed them. And the part that made me believe it even more was when they had said that, I remember crying. And neither one of those evaluators, both of them, neither one of them turned to me and said, listen, we don't know yet. We have to, you know, go to the next step. No one said anything. And it was just like, okay, have a good day. Thank you so much. We'll be in contact. And I was just like, he's autistic. And that was the hardest thing, too. It was not having that comfort in that moment. Oh, my God, it's going to bring me to tears. Because that is such a huge, huge thing to tell somebody. And the way that it was just brought about, I would say could have been a lot better, honestly, my experience of it. It was very cold and just kind of, I don't know. It was just cold and they just left and I was just left there. And I think Sean was working from home that day and I immediately ran into him and told him. And I remember I didn't say anything else. I just said, Grayson has autism. And I think he was really shocked. Like I said, we really did think Grayson was developing neurotypically and so did the doctors. Something went wrong somewhere. Things just changed. And I would say they changed around 12 months, 13 months. And, you know, we talk about on our previous episodes about Vaxxed and the movie and, you know, go do your own research. Listen, I am for vaccinations. I was always for them, but I'm for safe ones. And when certain studies are not being conducted, yeah, that kind of makes me question things. When you see your child developing neurotypically and you're the one who's with them every single day, you know what's happening. And then all of a sudden, everything just changes. And then they, you know, all they say is, well, that's when they're really developing. No, something was like a light switch. Something just happened. I don't know how to explain it, but that was our story. Do I think there were little signs here and there? Yeah, I do. You know, Grayson would rock a lot in his chair. And that was pretty much it. He had great eye contact. He always saw that camera come out, my phone come out, and would be, you know, on high alert, paying attention to everything. Did he have normal eating behaviors? Yes, until the age of 13 months. And now, like we've talked about before, we can't get him off of the Gerber meals. We have tried everything. We've had feeding programs. We're going to be doing Children's Hospital of Philadelphia intensive feeding program. So that's been a huge struggle. And we cook a lot. You know, I'm Greek and Italian. We're constantly cooking. So that's really hard. But we never force it. We always want to make sure Grayson's comfortable. So we offer things, but if he just pushes it away, you know, I can put some on the table and he won't stay there. And I don't force it because we could be causing more trauma to that area and we don't want to do that. That's the one thing that I don't feel as confident in helping Grayson as I have with everything else. So, but that's a whole nother story. But yeah, things did change around 12, 13 months. So, you know, I think the hardest thing is when you don't know something's going on, how do you start early intervention early? So I think the best way to explain this is do activities with your children, do certain things, engage them. I never babysat, so I was really bad at like, okay, well, when are they supposed to talk and when are they supposed to do this? So that didn't help me, I guess. And myself, I was a slow talker. I had problems with my ears as a child and I didn't start talking until I was 4. So they didn't know if this was a genetic thing. So, you know, I always took that into consideration. Like, okay, well, maybe he's kind of just like me. You know, we had his ears checked. Nothing was wrong there, where I almost hoped something was wrong. And as horrible as that sounds, if it was the ears and he needed tubes, we would have had those tubes already and he would have been healed from that. And he would probably be, you know, verbal right now. So that to me is fixable. This is hard. You know, we have been getting some words, but not as much as when we started having those first words recently, really, and you started increasing babbling. Did I think it was going to come a little faster? Yes, I did. Is it a little discouraging? Yeah, at times it is, actually. You know, I never put any time frames or said Grayson was going to do something, but when you start hearing that babbling and him saying, no, 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 and he's talking, yeah, you kind of are like, okay, it's coming. Here it comes, you know? And then it stops and you're kind of, yeah, you're let down a little bit. Every parent wants their child to talk. I want to hear my child's voice. I want my child to be able to verbalize what he wants. And yes, he can communicate in other ways and he does very well. But, you know, you want to hear your child's voice. So that's a hard pill to swallow. But if you don't know something's going on, how do you get started? Do activities, talk to your pediatrician anyway. I'm going to tell you, most of them do not know anything about autism. They know, some of them might know a few signs, but there's nothing, you know, elaborate in what they know. They don't learn about this. They're not specialized in this. So if I were you, honestly, I would think about considering going to a developmental pediatrician. They will do evaluations and they will tell you exactly where your child is. And it's worth it, whether or not, you know, you just have a little gut feeling, there's no signs there, definitely do it, because you want to get involved in therapy as soon as possible. Early intervention is key. It's very hard for children to outgrow what they have been doing for 6, 7, 8, 9 years, as opposed to 12, 13, 14 months. We started early intervention at 18 months. He got diagnosed at 2 years old. And we started biomed, he just turned 5. We started biomedical treatment at 3. Oh my gosh, has it been 2 years? Yes, it's been 2 years since we started biomedical treatment. So he was 3 when we started that. And what a difference that has made. I don't know where we would be. I'm a huge advocate for that. I was totally against holistic ways and natural remedies all of my life. And now I'm a huge believer, just seeing how much it helped us. There's something to that. But again, you want to go to a biomedical or a DAN or an LAN doctor and have all of that done the right way. Don't just research and jump right into something like that on your own. So yeah, that's the things you want to do. Do fine motor things, do gross motor things, do puzzles, see how they're using their hands. Make sure they're paying attention. Make sure that there's parallel play, imaginative play. Try to scope out all of those things as best as you can and write things down, things of your concern. And like I said, if you're not getting anywhere with your pediatrician, try not to waste too much time there. Talk to them about it. If they don't really have anything to tell you, then automatically consider going to developmental pediatrician. So that's pretty much how we started. We did EI until Grayson aged out at 3 years old. Mostly I think every state is 3, maybe some are 4, I'm not really sure. But I know our surrounding states are 3. So you want to start early, especially because they're going to age out. And if your child's going to go into the school district system, you are not going to be present during therapy. And it's going to be really hard for you to know what's going on. So I really, really suggest getting started early and being involved in every therapy session. I never walked out of one session. I was always there learning so that I knew how to help Grayson when they weren't there anymore. And it's funny because even now when I talk to our OT, I can almost like fill in her words because I've been around it and doing it so much that I already know what she's going to say and tell me, because she taught me so much in the beginning. I was really close to her, and it was really hard when early intervention was over saying goodbye to these people. We had a DI and we had an OT, and we did it every single day, and they become like family. They're there through your struggles, and they're helping you, probably honestly more so than your family will. It's really hard sometimes with family that don't know. Some things can be hurtful, especially when you're doing certain things in therapy and things aren't being followed through with others. That's really, really difficult. But, you know, you will eventually learn how to work around that the best that you can. It's going to be a struggle in the beginning, and we did take a step back because there was just so much going on that we needed to deal with. And that was important for us to approach this right and to be the healthiest for Grayson. So I definitely recommend if you need to do that, do that. Don't worry about what people say. Do what you need to do for yourself and for your family. That is the most important thing. And, you know, the day that we said goodbye, I was in tears. absolute tears. I remember just being like, thank you so much. And I don't know where I would be without you. Like, you taught me so much. It was hard. It was a change. And then started ABA. And that's where we really got to business. Totally different approach. But it helped us tremendously. So I definitely advise, if you just have that gut feeling, talk to your pediatrician, talk to somebody else who has a child on the spectrum. Yes, both children are going to be completely different, because I always say when you met one child with autism, you've met just that one child with autism, because not two are the same. No two are the same. Sorry about that. And each child has different learning ways and different developmental milestones, and they are going to reach different places at different times. So don't ever compare your child, but always make sure that you are doing these things and being involved. That's the most important thing, because if you're not doing these things and you're kind of just letting your child just play all day by themselves, you're not going to be able to gauge, and you're not going to be able to see if there's a problem. So that's pretty much all I have. I hope that you guys enjoyed this episode, and I'm sorry for our listeners that have heard some of this before. I know some of it is repetitive, but again, it was just for our new followers, and we want to welcome everybody who is now tuning into the show, and we appreciate all of your support. You all can find us on Instagram at Building the Puzzle. On Facebook, we have a group and a page, Building the Puzzle. And you can also find us at grayson-company.com, where we sell all of our homemade toys, wooden toys, Montessori toys, etc. So with that...
For autism, building the puzzle, one piece at a time. I'm Sean.
And I'm Alex.
Signing off. Take care, everybody.
Here at Building the Puzzle, we understand how difficult and challenging it can be for parents with autistic children that have communication delays. Well, if you're in New Jersey, you're in luck. The Speech Paradigm has you covered. They're helping children overcome speech challenges all across New Jersey. They offer both telehealth services as well as in-home therapy. Please reach out to them. You can take a look on their website at www.thespeechparadigm.com. You can reach out by phone at 732-203-5268. You can also find them both on Facebook and Instagram as well, at The Speech Paradigm. We are also sponsored by Grayson & Company, making homemade toys. They have everything from wooden homemade toys to sensory bins, sensory boards, all different kinds of toys for your children. They can be reached at grayson-company.myshopify.com, as well as on Facebook and Instagram, as well as Etsy. On Etsy, they can be found at Grayson & Company Toys.